Case number 11-1066 et al. National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners Petitioner versus United States Department of Energy. Mr. Silberg for the petitioner, Ms. Kid Miller for the respondent.
Good morning, and may it please the court. The Department of Energy's statutory mandate in this case is to evaluate whether the funds being collected to ensure full cost recovery are insufficient or in excess. DOE has failed to comply. Let me discuss three of the reasons that DOE's January 2013 fee adequacy assessment is legally deficient and what we think the court should do. First, the assessment is legally deficient because it relies on costs for a proposed waste strategy that violates the Nuclear Waste Policy Act and may never be enacted into law. Second, DOE's determination that neither excess nor insufficient revenues are being collected is legally deficient since DOE concedes that its assessment does not demonstrate that either insufficient or excess revenues are in fact being collected. Third, DOE's assessment...
Are you suggesting that the statute would require the Secretary to conclude either that it was excess or deficient? He couldn't say it's perfectly in balance?
He could say it's perfectly in balance.
So that's wrong when you said he has to describe it as either deficient or excessive.
Well, I said that what I meant to say is that the assessment did not said that it could not determine whether it was in excess or deficient. It never made that determination. It could have found that it was perfectly in balance. It did not do that. It said we don't have compelling evidence one way or another, but in fact what the agency did is said we can't tell from all these scenarios which way it's going to be. Third, DOE's assessment is legally deficient because it failed to analyze the adequacy of the waste fund with a zero fee. And fourth, in
why wasn't that implicit in the Secretary's determination? Why would the Secretary have to take that factor out independently? Our opinion said the Secretary had to take that into account, but didn't he take it into account implicitly? Why?
I don't believe it did. If you look at any of the assessments that they did, none of them assume that there is no fee coming in. None of them look at what the fee would be based solely on how much additional dollars are being added to the fund from interest alone, and that's approaching $2 billion a year. And looking out for a 30 or 35-year program, you're talking about $70 billion in 2012 dollars. That's a lot of money coming in. They did not analyze that. In view of the DOE's, what we think, legally deficient third bite at the apple of the fee adequacy, the court has the power to, and we believe should, order DOE to promptly take steps needed to suspend the fee. First point I'd like to address, the assessment violates the Act's requirements as to the cost.
Can I go on to the remedy question now? I think you asked that the fee be suspended or reduced to zero for how long a period?
Until such time as there is a program in effect that's been adopted by Congress and DOE has done a proper evaluation of the fees that are necessary to offset the cost of that program. I don't know how long that would be. It could be 1 year, could be 2 years, could be much longer.
You'd have to have, in other words, your view is there has to be new legislation before the remedy would stop.
Well, it's not only my view, it's the DOE's view.
Does it have to be new legislation? Does it have to be that they've become in some fashion compliant with the existing legislation? I realize we can't literally because of the 1998 problem, but...
We would like nothing better, Your Honor, if DOE were to go back.
I don't want to know what you would like. I want to know whether that would be a sufficient qualifier for the remedy that you're proposing. Not that there has to be new legislation.
Okay,
have to be compliant with whatever legislation is controlled.
Correct. And DOE has said that under no circumstances...
So you're not actually saying that there has to be new legislation. A remedy that depends on the acts of Congress in the future is as irrational as the proposal of the government.
Well, the remedy assumes that they have to do something. They either have to go back to the program as currently structured, which they have said they will not do, or they have to have a program which goes forward with congressional blessing. Right now, their idea...
They have to be compliant with whatever congressional...
That's correct, Your Honor. The 2013 assessment did not look at the costs that DOE was required to look at. Section 302A4 requires that the assessment be based on the cost as defined in subsection D of Section 302. And in turn, Section 302D defines the costs that DOE is obligated to look at as those costs of, quote, radioactive waste activities under Titles I and Title II of the Nuclear Waste Policy Act. But DOE didn't assess those costs because it had unilaterally ceased the activities that are described in Titles I and Title II when it canceled Yucca Mountain. So instead of looking at the costs under of activities under Titles I and II, it looked at the costs of a disposal system consistent with DOE's 2012 strategy document. But that strategy document is inconsistent with Titles I and II of the Act in several ways, which we list at pages 38 and 39 of our brief. And DOE concedes, as we've discussed, that new legislation is needed if they're going to carry out that program. So while DOE claims that its 2013 assessment returns to the standard used in previous assessments, all the previous assessments up to 2009 were based on the costs of the program as described in the Act. The 2013 assessment, on the other hand, evaluates the costs of a program that violates the Act.
Well, before Yucca Mountain was picked by Congress, the costs were hypothetical. That's one of the government's arguments. It's returning to what it did before Yucca Mountain was selected.
But that program that they evaluated before the 1987 amendments to the Nuclear Waste Policy Act was, in fact, the program that was defined in the Nuclear Waste Policy Act. That act, as adopted in 1982, called for a program to select sites. And DOE, in fact, had an ongoing program to select sites in various media. The fact that those were different sites than Yucca Mountain, it was by no means a hypothetical. That was the program that they were charged by Congress with carrying out, and they, in fact, were carrying out that program. In 1987, Congress amended the program. DOE then carried out that program and was doing so until 2009 when it was terminated. Under DOE's rationale, it could invent a new program every year and assess its costs, whether or not that program was compliant with Titles I and II. That can't be what Congress had in mind, since it would ignore the explicit limitation of the costs identified in 302D. The second point I'd like to address is DOE's failure to determine whether the fees being collected are too big or too small. 302A4 requires that DOE determine that the revenues being collected are too big or too small to offset the cost of the program. But DOE's assessment doesn't do that. Instead, DOE says it can't make that determination. Having chosen to analyze 42 different scenarios, DOE says that it can't assign meaningful probabilities for any of them. Instead, it throws up its hands and said it's not possible to estimate the likelihood of whether there will be excess or insufficient collections at the current fee amount. While DOE says that there's no compelling evidence that the fee is too high, it's chosen not to look for that evidence. The closest that DOE can come is to say that the current fee may lead to an overcollection of up to $4.9 trillion or an undercollection of up to $2 trillion. So notwithstanding a 180-page report, 42 scenarios, 7 economic forecasts, DOE simply takes a pass on complying with what the Act requires it to do. But it can't escape its obligation to perform a fee assessment simply because there's uncertainty. DOE cites this court's case in North Carolina versus FERC that projections like the ones required here are, quote, speculative, inexact, and riddled with uncertainty.
Suppose Yucca Mountain was still the program that the government was proceeding on, and it nonetheless said that although we can figure generally what our costs will be, we're not certain. So this is a general range, and it could be more or less, but because we can't be certain, we won't ask Congress to increase or diminish the fee. Would you say that would still be illegal?
If they couldn't make a determination, I would say they're obligated by Congress to do the best they can.
Well, how about my hypothetical? There's existing Yucca Mountain, and the program is moving forward, and the Secretary says, well, look, these are the approximate costs we project, and this is the revenue we think we have from interest and so forth, and we think we're within X amount one way or another, so we don't think we can't conclude it's excessive or deficient.
I think to properly carry out the act, they should choose a number. They can provide a range, as they did in their assessments up through.
Well, once you provide a range, then couldn't the Secretary say, well, we're within that range, somewhere in the midpoint of the range, we don't know exactly where, so we are not going to conclude that it's excessive or not enough. Could the Secretary do that?
I think they could if the range were reasonable. I think a $7 trillion range is not reasonable.
So then it's wrong for you to say, as you said earlier, the Secretary has only two choices. It's either excessive or it's the contrary.
Well,
that's
I think we agreed before that if he determined it was just right, that would be fine.
No, I'm saying something different, which is the Secretary says it's within a range. Yucca Mountain going here, but I can't be precise about it. This is the range, and I certainly can't conclude that it's excessive or deficient.
Well, it seems to me a range of $7 trillion is...
No, but you haven't answered my question.
Right.
Would you concede under those circumstances that it wouldn't be appropriate for the court to reverse the Secretary?
Your Honor, I think it depends upon what the range is. I think if it's a range of, $100, clearly, if it's a range of $1 million in the scope of this program, that's fine. If it's a range of $1 billion, well, at that point, I think you're getting out of the range of reasonableness. We can't ask the government to do anything more than what's reasonable. I think what they've done in this case is unreasonable. I see I'm going into my reserve time. What I'd like to do at this point is conclude. Happy to answer any other questions. But DOE has now had three bites at the fee adequacy apple. As a result, we would ask the court to order the DOE, consistent with Section 302A4, promptly submit a proposal to Congress to reduce the waste fee to zero until there is a nuclear waste program authorized by law, whose costs DOE can evaluate, and until DOE issues an evaluation of those costs showing...
You're repeating the point contrary to what Judge Santel pointed out, aren't you?
Authorized by law? No. Yes. If they go back to the existing program,
it is authorized by law.
I
see your point. I understand. Not new legislation, necessarily.
Yes, and since with every passing quarter, the utilities pay the government about $190 million, we'd urge that this court to put DOE on the shortest possible clock to submit a proposal to Congress to reduce the fee to zero. I reserve the balance of my time. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Good morning, and may it please the court. The court should deny the petition for review. The Secretary has corrected each of the issues identified by this court's prior remand determination, and petitioners do not challenge that. Rather, they make new challenges to the 2013 assessment. And underlying each of these challenges is their fundamental assertion that it's unfair to continue to collect the fee when the government is not currently collecting their waste and is not currently pursuing Yucca Mountain.
It's best to me that the government is in the determination made admissions against interest on that point. At least twice you say in there that the payment of the fee is consideration for the Secretary's contractual obligation relating to the close of commercial SMS and APLW. Having admitted that that's true, and it being undisputed that the government's not performing its part of the consideration, why is it fair to collect anything?
Because, Your Honor, we fundamentally disagree with the premise that the government is not complying with its obligations. The government remains...
You were supposed to have it up and running in 1998?
Originally, yes. Yes.
How can you possibly say the government met its obligation? It doesn't even have a site at the moment. It's done none of the things it's supposed to do. It admits at least twice in this determination that the payment is in consideration for things you haven't done. So how is it fair to collect anything? Why couldn't we grant the relief to zero it out?
As this court recognized in its previous decision, the government has reiterated and remains obligated to dispose of the waste.
Yes, but you haven't done it. If you're not performing your obligation, why should they have to perform theirs?
Because we're simply in a... No. We're in a situation of delay in our performance, and the petitioners are receiving relief for that delay.
Delay is another word for not having done the deadline thing in this case. I mean, as far as copying anything.
Well, petitioners are being compensated for the extra costs that they incur as a result of the delay through separate contract litigation. And the statute...
I'm familiar with that, too.
Pardon me?
I'm familiar with that, too.
Yes, Your Honor. And the statute, as Your Honor referenced, the statute ties the fee to the generation of electricity. The exchange here, what this court has previously called the quid pro quo, is that the petitioners are paying the fee.
Well, you call it consideration for your obligation.
Yes, Your Honor.
That's what we've called it. It's right there in the determination that we're reviewing that you twice admit, actually more than twice, but at least twice, admit that thing.
We absolutely agree. We the fee is in exchange for our obligation, but we remain obligated. And delaying in that obligation...
You're in error, give me money.
No, we're working towards taking your waste. Congress has required you to pay the fee for generation of electricity, not for any particular program. The fee is not collected for Yucca or any other specific.
But your brief refers to the program. It's not, that isn't an invention of the petitioner. You call it, you refer to program too.
Pardon me?
Your brief refers to program too.
Yes, Your Honor, meaning the...
I mean, you concede that there has to be a program. So your brief itself refers to your program.
Right, in that a program of a plan to take the waste, which DOE is still indisputably committed to doing. If DOE no longer had the obligation to work towards disposal of the waste, then... presumably, we'd be in another court having some sort of total breach argument today. We would not be here under these scenarios where Congress has...
Incidentally, the breach argument that you make, that our case could interfere with the separate litigation in the Federal Circuit, I was rather puzzled about that because the litigation in the Federal Circuit looks backwards, whereas this case looks forward. Isn't that true?
The backwards forwards point is true, yes. But the point we were attempting to make is if the fee is suspended and petitioners are therefore relieved of their obligation under the contract, their only obligation here is to pay the fee, but yet the government has its obligation remaining that
But that would be true if the secretary concluded that the fee was that the amount of money in the fund was adequate.
Yes, now that would be
that argument would go away, right?
Well, we'd be in a completely different scenario there, and one contemplated by Congress for potential adjustment to the fee. The statute.
Yeah, but the point is, if that were true, then there would be no more money coming in, and you say that, and your argument implicitly says that's wrong. That shouldn't be, but it would be true if the secretary concluded that the fee, that the amount in the fund was enough.
We see an important distinction between...
Am I not correct about what I just said?
I think it's incorrect. Because
the secretary said there's enough money in the fund to cover future costs, you would still want to charge more?
No. If the secretary made a finding that there were enough money today to pay for the entire life cycle,
right,
the next 150 years...
Then in that event, there's no obligation on the industry to continue.
Well, under that event, the petitioners would not pay any fees for the following year. The secretary would still do an assessment the next year, and the obligation remains.
But it's clear that 1 year there would be no obligation.
No, the obligation would remain. It's just that under the statutory scheme.
The obligation would remain, but the amount would be zero.
That's right. That's okay. Right. And similarly, if the secretary...
I think petitioner would be perfectly happy to have an obligation in the future as long as it would go with zero.
It'd be like the government's obligation. It'd be obligated if you wouldn't have to do anything.
Well, here the... You know, we're still very much in the early...
Well, can I ask you, what's your response to Mr. Silver's assertion that the Department of Energy cannot assess Title I and Title II costs because it's basically disavowed Yucca Mountain, and that's what Title I and Title II are focused toward?
We have several responses. As first previously mentioned, the fee is tied to the generation of electricity, not Yucca Mountain. And for example, before Yucca Mountain was in the statute, after Yucca Mountain was in the statute, Congress could have revisited how this fee scheme works. It didn't. It left everything in place. Second, I don't
know. Granted, Congress could have revisited it, but they didn't. And so I think what counsel is saying is what is the basis of the department's authority to do any of this?
The basis is that Congress has, again, imposed the fee upon generation and sale of nuclear energy. Now, if this court were to agree with petitioner and find that there's a flaw that the current fee assessment is arbitrary and capricious, the remedy for that is not suspension of the fee. It doesn't necessarily, it would depend on precisely what kind of error this court found.
What do you think would be the appropriate remedy?
Well, depending on the...
That's a troubling issue in this case. What do you think the appropriate remedy is? Do you think it should be remanded back to the secretary again for another determination?
Yes, Your Honor. If, for example, this court were to find that the department erred by not incorporating Yucca assumptions into the analysis. First, we note that the department interpreted the court's previous remand as directing it to assess reality, if you will. In the previous case, the department acknowledged we're not building Yucca Mountain, but nonetheless we're going to use the Yucca numbers and assessment as an admittedly unworkable proxy. And the court said that the department could not so blithely rely upon Yucca when it had no current plans to pursue that. The secretary responded to that criticism, and the Blue Ridge, depending on relying upon the Blue Ribbon Commission suggestions and the administration strategy, has now assessed what is the best available information and plan for fulfilling this continuing obligation to take
waste. But your brief refers to a program, but in fact, you don't have a program, do you?
We do have a program. Now,
we
don't
have a
strategy.
You don't call it a program.
Well, I don't think
your brief calls it a program, but not the secretary.
I don't see that
it's important. The strategy is adequate.
Yes, Your Honor.
The strategy is not in compliance with anything Congress has ever enacted.
That's right, Your Honor. We acknowledge that the strategy will need legislative action, but that's no different than...
your finding here, the secretary's decision reflects that there is a growth in the fund of how much each year currently?
There is fees at approximately $750 million a year.
What is the total in the fund growing at per year? Take the interest?
About $1.5 billion in interest plus the seven.
Further admits, we can't tell whether there's going to be a shortfall or an excess. So why isn't that a foundation for saying we have not justified any charge until we come forward with something that is using the money up? If it's growing without the fees, grows without the fees, and you can't tell what it's going to cost, and you have some projections that show an excess about three times the national deficit, why wouldn't it be rational to say that you've not supported any fees for the current years?
For several reasons. First and foremost, the Secretary did, in fact, make a finding, the required finding under the statute here. The statute directs that in the event that the fees are either insufficient or excessive, the Secretary should then take the next step of proposing what the new fees should do. At page 6 of the appendix, the Secretary determined that neither insufficient nor excess revenues are being collected, tracking the statutory. That is the final determination.
It can't be an arbitrary and capricious conclusion and carry the day, can it? So we need to have the findings upon which that conclusion is based.
That's right. In petition,
it would seem that where you say that we can't tell what the costs are actually going to be, and we're making money on interest without any fees, why is that support for anything other than a conclusion that there should be a zero rate at the present time?
Well, this is absolutely not a situation where the Secretary has simply thrown up his hands and said, I can't tell what the fee's going to be. The analysis resulted in a range of projected
42 scenarios.
42 different scenarios.
I'm impressed at the number.
Well, Your Honor, it's not different from what past assessments have done. It's the exact same methodology
that
past assessments.
That's what happened in the lawsuit, Counsel. Because that's what the Secretary's been doing all this time.
Respectfully, this Court directed the Secretary to return to its own previous standard and do the same inquiry and analysis that it did
in the
prior.
And that produced nothing but a 42 undifferentiated findings and a two-thirds possibility that there's going to be a multi-trillion-dollar excess. I'm exaggerating, but not much.
Well, similarly, Your Honor, in the 1986 assessment, the Department used 64 different scenarios. In 2009, after YUCCA was written into the statute, still 28 scenarios. One of the largest drivers of the numbers of scenarios.
The biggest problem you have, though, is never before have you come up with scenarios which were blatantly in violation of the statute. That's the biggest problem. You make a big argument in the brief concerning the one or two depositories. But I thought petitioner's response in the reply brief was pretty persuasive, then that all that was necessary is for you to start, or for Congress to authorize a second depository, and then there was an unlimited amount that could be in the first depository. So it really wasn't inconsistent with the statute.
Well, a number of that's not the only assumption of legislative change that passed assessments have made. Numerous assessments have assumed varying types of
changes. Implementation is one thing. Complete violation of the statute is another, isn't it?
Yes. However, we don't believe that we are in a situation where we are in complete violation of the statute.
No, your hypotheticals would be violation of existing statute that have to be changed.
Some parts of the strategy, yes, conflict with the current law. Other parts do not. The fundamental notion of a repository.
Well, this notion of a temporary depository is inconsistent with the statutory requirement that first a permanent depository be selected before anything else happens.
That's right. The pilot interim storage facility, which is assumed in the strategy, admittedly is not part of the current.
No, it's worse than that. It's contrary to the statute.
And that is why in Appendix E of the determination, the Secretary did a separate analysis looking at how the ending waste fund balances would be distributed, assuming no pilot interim storage facility.
How is any of this within the existing authority that the Secretary has under the Waste Act? Your idea is, well, generally they want to have a depository, so however we do it is okay. But in fact, there was a very specific statutory scheme, a very specific program that had been blessed by Congress numerous times. And so your idea is, this sounds like exactly what Mr. Silberg says. If you are right, then the Secretary can every single year start all over again and never actually build a waste disposal facility.
Well, I don't believe that that's a realistic scenario of what would happen. But even setting that aside, even if the court were to find that the fee assessment is arbitrary and capricious because it relies on the scenario that's not yet part of the law, suspension of the fee is not the remedy.
You made a big argument about suspension of the fee. Is there a difference between suspension of the fee and a direction to reduce the fee to zero?
Not for practical purposes.
Then why do you talk about suspension of the fee? Then, I mean, you made it look as if suspension of the fee is not an available remedy, but reducing it, ordering the Secretary to reduce it to zero, or stating to Congress he's going to reduce it to zero, is okay.
We would say that none of those options are appropriate remedies.
The remedy is an awkward question. Tell me, if the Secretary simply came into court and said, I don't care what the court said, I'm not going to make this determination. I don't think I have to. Is it your view we still do not have authority to issue as an order the remedy which petitioners seek?
Yes, if the Secretary refused to conduct an assessment, this court could order the Secretary to conduct an assessment.
But we could not order the fee to be reduced to zero.
No, because that is skipping over additional
and
steps.
And suppose the Secretary refused again to conduct the determination. What will we do? We would say, okay, Secretary, you have to do it. We told you three times. You haven't done it now. We're going to tell you the fourth time.
That's
the limit of our authority.
If you're in a situation where we're talking about the Secretary
can
not doing an assessment.
Can we put counsel in contempt or something?
Presumably, I don't know the contempt law.
I'm teasing. But now, the point is, under that hypothetical, are you really seriously saying we have no remedial authority?
No, I'm not saying you have no remedial authority.
But the remedial authority would be only to direct him to do that which he refuses to do.
To compel action unlawfully withheld. That would be the remedy.
Your argument is really that there's no way to get off this hamster wheel. And I think you're saying that is because the language of the statute would not permit it. But apparently the language of the statute permits the Secretary to just do whatever he wants about a waste disposal program, correct?
No, not whatever. The Secretary couldn't, for example, buy new sports cars for everyone who works at DOE. It's clearly not related to the obligation to dispose
of
waste.
What would we do if he did?
I think I have to research
a new assessment.
I'd have a whole other research project there. But importantly, Congress has imposed a precondition before we get to the answer that the fee is zero, and that is that there's a finding that the current fee is either excessive or insufficient. And even after that kind of finding, we don't know that the answer is necessarily no fee. Then there has to be an assessment. Is
you
it half a mil?
You made a Chevron argument there. But the Chevron argument really doesn't relate to this court's power, does it?
No. The Chevron argument in this area is that to the extent that there's a flaw in the fee assessment, if the court were to set aside the fee assessment, what is the default, if you will? Do we go then to ordering no fee and we say no?
That goes to the judicial power. The judicial power isn't referred to in the statute at all.
That's right, but the court should not order a remedy that's contrary to the statute. And I recognize the statute doesn't address remedies, but the statute says that the fee shall be 1 mil unless and until there's a determination that it's too high or too low. Petitioners say this is our third bite at the apple, but to the extent that they're now complaining about alleged errors that are
I want to repeat to make sure you understand the hypothetical and I want to hear your answer. If the Secretary 3, 4, 5 times just simply refuses to do what the court directs the Secretary to do, is it your view that nevertheless the court has no remedial authority beyond just directing over and over and over that the Secretary do what the statute requires? The court has no authority to order the Secretary to reduce the fee to zero, no matter what the Secretary does.
No, that's not our position.
So we do have the authority under certain circumstances to direct the secretary to propose zero.
If the preconditions that the statute imposes on the secretary's authority to do so are also present, that is, if the fee is found to be excessive or insufficient.
In other words, the secretary has to make that determination in your view.
Yes.
We can't make that determination. So all we can do is order the secretary over and over and over to make the determination.
Well, the court certainly has the power to impose on the secretary certain parameters, you know, identify what's wrong with the current assessment, and then send it back to the secretary to address that particular concern. Now, conceivably, there could be concerns that this court raises that lead to the answer that the fee is excessive, and then we have to have the second analysis of, okay, now is the fee half a mil? Is it three quarters of a mil? Because the undisputed purpose and the plain language of the statute says this has to pay for full cost recovery, 150 years, as the department figures out.
Currently, making money if there is no fee. What is the foundation for charging anything? As you say, it has to meet costs. It's more than covering costs. So where you don't have any findings on something in compliance with the statute is going to be done, I don't see how it justifies anything.
Well, it has to meet the full cost of the entire life cycle of the program.
It doesn't have to do it this year. It has to meet the cost on a year-by-year basis.
Right. It has to be. The statute sets up gives the secretary a prospective job to do.
Sure.
And look at whether at the current fee, if it's to remain at the current level,
It's not going to remain at the current level.
Pardon me?
It's not going to remain at the current level. Presumably every year the secretary can come in and make a new determination.
That's right.
When you start incurring some more costs, you can come in and make a new determination.
But that presumes that all that is
being
paid
for. It doesn't presume anything. It just recognizes the current state of events.
Well, the current state of events is that the government remains obligated to dispose of the waste.
Being
150
years. Being obligated doesn't cost you one dime. Being obligated doesn't cost you one dime. The current fees have more than paid costs for years. So much that your interest now is making over $1 billion a year, but $1.5 billion a year. I don't see how that justifies anything other than a zero rate.
Because both the statute and the contract say that the fee each year needs to be assessed to determine whether it will pay not for the next 5 or 10 or even 20 years of activity, not until, under petitioner's view, the legislation is actually in place. It's to make the best assessment possible today.
The legislation is in place. You're wanting different legislation. We have to look at the current legislation.
Right. Well, I was simply referring to petitioner's proposal that the fee be suspended until Congress enacts.
With respect to the current.
We backed him off of that.
Excuse me. With respect to the current legislation, should we pay any attention to, that is to say, Judge Nantel's point, should we pay any attention to the recent opinion of this court in, is it Aiken County? Didn't we say there, whatever the practical realities may be, the legislation trumps?
Yeah, this court.
It's sort of an associated issue, isn't it? Involving the Yucca Mountain, but with FERC rather than the Energy Department.
Right, with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. It's certainly a related issue, but it's not binding here.
We announced the principle there that the law, the statutory provisions govern, not the political realities.
That's right. In that particular scenario, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission was not processing on the application. Processing the license
for violating the law.
For Yucca, right. But importantly, this court's remand, its order was not to grant the license. It didn't dictate what the outcome should be. It simply said you have to process the license.
I don't know what it will look like the second time it comes back up, or in this case, the third time. One question I had about the intergenerational argument you make, which is sort of a policy argument, but I guess it goes to the remedy question more than the substance. But as I read that, it seemed to me that was a direct attack on the language of the statute. Because if the secretary were to conclude tomorrow, the amount of money in the funds is adequate to cover all our future costs, that would be benefiting all future depositories of waste who would not have to pay anything, but it would be sticking all the existing ones, right? So the statute itself deals with the intergenerational equity problem.
We agree that with that potential scenario, but what Congress has said in the statute is completely the opposite of what Your Honor posits.
My point is, it's under those circumstances, you would be benefiting future nuclear plants.
Right, and that's the balance that Congress struck in the statute.
Oh, it's okay for Congress to favor one generation as opposed to another. But your argument was intergenerational equity generally.
Our argument is that the statute, being prospective in nature, imposes fees today at the time that electricity is generated and sold. And to the extent that there's a potential unfairness in that one day we might it might become clear that there's too much money, that's the balance that Congress struck. And that is that's the scheme. That's how Congress has resolved that potential unfairness. And it's not something that at this point...
But if the secretary had made a determination of zero, then the secretary itself would, and under your theory, have been unfair on the intergenerational equity basis.
No, if the secretary set the fee at zero because this year's analysis showed that the current balance was enough to pay for 150 years, that's fair.
That would be giving a free rider to all the future nuclear plants.
Arguably, but that's what Congress directed.
All right, I give up.
We ask
be nice if you're doing something that Congress directed. I think that's a good point.
Your Honor, we ask that the court deny the petition for review or, in the alternative, remand to the secretary. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Silberg, you have 2 minutes remaining.
Thank you.
Mr. Silberg, aren't you concerned about the remedy or the court's power here?
No, Your Honor. I think you addressed that in the prior case. I think the Aiken County decision rightly says that this court has the authority to require an agency to do something, especially assuming that there's appropriated funds and assuming that it's not a useless act. This would not be a useless act, and there are appropriated funds.
This meaning what? What is it you say we can order them?
I believe you can order them to follow the statute, which is to propose to Congress.
They already have that meaning. What is our order going to say they have to do?
That you should promptly submit a proposal to Congress to set the fee to zero until such time as there is a congressionally mandated program whose cost DOE has assessed and determined that additional fees from the utilities are necessary to cover the life cycle costs of that program. That's what we'd like you to do. A couple points that I'd like to make quickly. One is with respect to the scenarios. I believe if you look at Joint Appendix page 144, which is one of the appendices to the assessment, it looks as if DOE in fact chose the scenarios it was going to look at in order to characterize the uncertainty inherent in projecting long-range economic conditions, not to figure out what the right number was or a narrow range, but to show that there was a wide uncertainty. With respect to correcting all the defects, which this court pointed out, they did it to some extent, but certainly not to others. And one of the problems that they created with the new assessment is to base the cost assessment on a program that doesn't exist. What Congress might do in the future may look very different from what they think it might do, and certainly when Congress will do it may look very different. The fee is not for a particular program, the Justice Department said, but it is for the costs to be looked at are for a particular program, and that's the program identified in Titles 1 and 2. The issue is not which costs, but the issue is the basis for calculating the costs. The government has come up with a method for calculating the costs, but they've used the wrong costs to calculate. In terms of the hamster wheel and the remand, we would urge this court not to send us back for yet another, what I'm afraid will be fruitless exercise in trying to come up with a program which the government clearly doesn't want to assess. They have not provided a program to Congress. They have not submitted legislation. They have not even commented on the legislation that was introduced by four senators. We don't know when there will be a program. We hope there will be one soon, but until there is a program, until the cost of that program can be assessed, we would urge this court to send the government a strong message, direct them to submit a proposal to Congress, which would take effect in 90 days unless Congress act.
You want something more than a message, don't you?
I want an order.
That
to me would be a message. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. The case will be submitted.